Okay, this is Wednesday evening, 9/29/21. A no-nonsense look at the book of Revelation. The title is Let No Man Take Your Crown. I think I can safely say that most Christians look at the end time events passively. It's like, well, we just have to let it play out. Here is where the misrepresentation of the book of Revelation begins. I do not for a minute think that we are to be passive concerning end time events. We're supposed to be active participants in them. I'm going to show you why I believe this. June 26, 2015, the Supreme Court passed same-sex marriage. To me, this was a marker that the Antichrist took down the last barrier of defense we had in this nation of Christian values. This disgusting decision was declared from the highest authority of our land. On 7/6/15, 10 days later, we made our petition concerning the nation. Most people believe there is a 7-year tribulation, but I think we have to rightly interpret that we haven't rightly interpreted this either. Here are the scriptures that talk about a 3.5-year time frame called the Great Tribulation. So we're going to look at that. We're going to start in the book of Daniel. So I hope y'all got that. Most people look at it, end times upon us. It's inevitable. Nothing we can do about it. We're just all waiting to be raptured out of here. But what I believe the Holy Spirit has shown me, no, the church is the most active participating part in end time events. It's not a passive, well, you know, just got to get through it. No, I don't think it's supposed to be viewed that way. All right, Daniel chapter 7. Can I please just a notch? Okay, I don't know if I can. Okay, Daniel 7. Well, all right, 7:25. I think I'm doing something. I'm hitting something. It's causing some. Do you hear it? Okay. 7:25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a times and times and the dividing of time. Well, I'll tell you, that sounds true today. They're trying to change laws that are constitutional and they have no right to change. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. We're the winner here. All right. Now with that, let's go to Revelation chapter 13, verse 5. Times, times, and half time. Okay, Revelation 13:5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. 3.5 years. All right, look back to chapter 12. Verse 5 and 6. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her 1,260 days. This is 3.5 years. The only period that we see that there is 7 years is in one place. People have such weird ideas about Revelation. And I venture to say it's what they've heard all their life in church, not what they've actually looked at the scripture to see for themselves. Let's go back now to Daniel chapter 9. We've already looked at this a few weeks ago. This is Daniel 9:24. "70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous time. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off." This is his crucifixion. See, I think a lot of people are mistaking this for a 7-year Antichrist reign. This is that third temple concept. It's not really even scripture. This is another time. This isn't our time. "The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he will make it desolate, even until the consummation, and the determined shall he be poured out upon the desolate." So Jesus talked about this himself to his disciples, because we're going to look at that. This is Matthew 24. This is where whenever what's-his-face, well, I already turned it, but sacrificed a pig in their temple, on their altar. Okay, Matthew 24. Verse 15. "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let them which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath." Now, when I looked at this the other time, I said there was two questions they asked the Lord. See if I can find it right here. Right here, this is verse 3. Jesus talks about the temple being torn down, verse 2. "And Jesus said unto them, See ye not at all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? When will the temple be torn down? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" So we ask him two questions. They asked two questions of him at that time, because after he talked about what was going to happen when the temple was torn down, you're going to have to flee. Don't take any clothes, don't look back, head for the hills. And then he picks up with 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. So we're talking about two questions answered here. Okay. So we know that event with the temple happened in 70 AD. All right. I personally believe, this is my opinion, that we are in the Battle of Armageddon, and the church is not to take a passive stance on this, but they have everything to do with it. The Holy Spirit said to me this morning, let no man take thy crown. Because I had something else in mind to bring, and I heard that. And so I had to get up, stop what I was doing, and begin to write and begin to look at what he was talking about. All right, this scripture is Revelation 3, or it's in this passage of Revelation 3. He's actually talking to the churches. Verse 7, this is the angel of the church of Philadelphia. Write these sayings, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and have kept my word, and hast not denied my name. It sounds like the church today, doesn't it? Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. What's being uncovered right now? Khazarian Mafia. The real Jews. The real, well, the ones that... the criminal element. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world. Is that happening right now? Absolutely. To try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Okay, that's what I wanted you to see. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Okay, we've been called to this battle. What happened that day in the Supreme Court that got our crown? We lost our... I think that was the end of our complete sovereignty being lost that day. It was like the last straw. The only thing that was supporting us up and holding us up for any common decency of any kind. That's when Pandora's box opened and every kind of atrocity and nasty and evil and ugly thing started to show itself. All right. Strong's right here. Crown means a chaplet, as a twine or a wreath, as a badge of royalty, a prize in the public games, or a symbol of honor generally. But more conspicuous and elaborate that the simple fillet, literally and figuratively, a crown. What does a crown represent? My Bible commentary says it's a sign of sovereignty and authority. To me, homosexual marriage being put in place was a single, besides abortion, the single most awfulest thing that ever happened to our nation that I could ever think of. A total, you talk about an abomination of desolation. And it was snuck in upon us. All right. I remember thinking on that dark day that we were now living in Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a call to arms for me, and I believe it was for many others, and it is spreading around the world. We are called to fight in this battle. We aren't just sitting on our suitcases and waiting for a bailout. On July 6, 2015, we began through petition and proclamation to take back our authority and our sovereignty. Look what is going on around us. Do you see it? It's happening. I mean, I remember we hadn't lived very long in this house. Maybe the first year we were here, one day I was praying, and I wasn't praying about anything specific, but I had a vision. I saw Donald Trump's face, and I knew when I saw it, this was the man that God had chosen. You know, didn't have any idea. But what was the things he started saying? He was talking about getting our sovereignty back and about every nation of the world having their sovereignty back. Yeah. It was a call to arms. All right, I want to read you a statement I got this week. This was on Sherry Ray's Telegram, but it's an important statement by the USA military, September 4th, 2021. Today is a big day. We're waiting for the military courts, not nationally, and the N has got kill blocks, like N, an initial, not nationally, but globally. We hate corrupt, C is in the kill box, NC. We hate corrupt politicians and prostitute generals. We sacrifice our lives for the greatness of our country. Today is the day of separation, S in the kill box, of traitors from patriots. It is the day of the unity of the patriots and the day of the destruction of the enemies and what kill box around the W. What a great day. We should thank President Trump for waking us up. We were like blind people walking in dark forest, but President Trump burned the forest of globalists and made the sun brighter. We are ready with the strongest and most secret, with C being the kill box, weapons to wait for the order of our leader, President Trump. It's nothing can stop what is coming. All these letters in brackets. It's what's happening.
I'll see it after you.
Okay. Thought that was good. I thought it was very fitting. Okay, let me find my place here. Okay, nothing can stop what is coming. The beast on that day took our crown. He usurped our position of authority as a nation and as an individual and claimed as their right and all their demonic pride, even the highest office of the land, the White House, was lighted with the gay pride colors. And the new the Twin Towers, the one tower that looks like a syringe was also lit up that way. It was like saying, F you, God. We are taking our crown back. We're coming out from under the demonic crown, back under the crown of our King Jesus. No, Jesus is going to do that. Jesus is going to do it, but how is he going to do it? How is Jesus going to take back our sovereignty, take back our crown? Okay. We're beginning to get it finally, especially with people rising up all over the world. I saw today, and it hurt me to see this. There was I can't remember his rank, maybe a colonel? No, maybe he wasn't that high. But anyway, he's in the military, and he came out against the way they handled Afghanistan, so he's in the brig. While you've got the Joint Chief of Staff, traitor, still walking around free and spouting off his venom, being allowed to do it, the traitor that he is. We are Christ's body, the part that operates in the earth. Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand, but when we stand up and use our authority, all heaven backs us up. Even President Trump, I can remember some of the Silbrain post where President Trump was talking about it's time for Jesus to come. Out of his own mouth, They know what time it is. They know it's the time to take the earth back. They know. They've known for a long time. And they've known that the people have to be the ones. The church has to stand up and take it. It's not going to just be delivered to them. That's why it had to play out this way. That's why it had to be so hard. It's why we had to feel like we were wrung out, rode hard, and put up wet. That's why. It's because it was up to us as His church, as His body in the earth, to do what we are equipped to do, what Jesus bled and died for us to have. Okay, we're going to keep going. Revelation chapter 9. We're going to start with verse 1 there. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star far from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, unto them was given power, and the scorpions of the earth have, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented for 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hairs, the hair of women, and the teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. They usurped our authority. They took our crown. They come up out of the pit. I can imagine before this happened, they probably had one of their ceremonies that opened the abyss and opened up this most putrid thing on our nation. All right. June 26, 2015, the pit was opened. That's the day they made the decision. It let loose things on this earth that weren't there before. You could feel it. The body of Christ was called upon to wake up and take up arms at that time. All right, Revelation chapter 11. We're going to read most all of this chapter. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall be tread underfoot 42 months. So it feels like it. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, and the two candlesticks standing before the God of all the earth. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them into blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Who else has that authority? The church. And when they had finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Fitting, isn't it? America just became Sodom and Gomorrah. The church felt like they were gone. They were goners. I remember just feeling so awful and so putrid. And they of the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. I bet Obama was having such a heyday because he planned this to sneak it up on us about a year and a half before he left office. I just know they were having their little Nancy little parades and Nancy little parties and tiptoeing in the tulips, whatever you perverted, whatever, do. Can you just imagine how it must have been? I know the salon I go to. There's a lady in there that used to do my nails, and she's a Christian. They were in there with their little gay flags and doing all their stuff, and she told them, she said, that rainbow belongs to God. He gave it as a promise to us. You can't have it. And they put their flags away. I thought, touche for you. You talk about desecration. Ding dong, the church is dead. Laying in the streets. Powerless. Powerless. We let this happen. Powerless. All caught up in doing our faith things and this things and that things. Clueless that we had a devil in the White House. We knew he was, just we'd heard all the rumors, but I think we got to the point that we thought we didn't, couldn't hardly believe it. Okay. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another. They thought, New World Order, here we come. This was the nail in the coffin. We got them now. They're dead. The church is dead. Oh, because there are these two prophets that tormented us, they had dwelt on the earth, and after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them. They stood up upon their feet. You know why? God's law is what's represented here. Moses. Elijah, the power, but Moses, the law, the word. Boy, they were trampling all over the word of God. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up in heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and the earthquake was slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were frightened and gave glory to God of heaven. But this is the key. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. See, there's the point. After this devastation and what happened, it was like we were flat as a pancake. But the significance of them rising up to heaven, back in the place of authority, the church began to wake up. I know we did. All right, the devil has been after our crown from the very beginning. Okay, Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. There's the 7 mountains of culture that the devil has dominated the top of every one. That's how he took us down. He infiltrated the church. Every mountain of influence he infiltrated. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. How do you think he's going to rule all the nations with a rod of iron? We're supposed to be ruling and reigning with him. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God. The point right here, verse 8. The great dragon was cast out of heaven, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. See, God would not put up with his pride, his five I wills, Isaiah 14, I think it's 12 through 15. He would not put up with that in heaven. So he kicked him out. So it's up to us in the earth to kick him out. How are we going to kick him out? The battle of Armageddon. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused him before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of his testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Over here, verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. See, he makes war with the saints. The battle of Armageddon isn't a battle that Jesus just fights. It is a battle that we fight and we have his backing. We're ruling and reigning with him. In other words, he says, I got your back. Who's it given authority on the earth? The church. All right. He really thinks he has won. Okay, Revelation 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, verse 1, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads, 10 horns, upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Now you see why everything is so awful, nasty, grotesque. It's just nearly unbelievable, the things you see. Why? On his heads, his authority, it's all blasphemy. Anything against God, anti-God, anything that's anti-God. There's no bars, no limits. The nastier, the grosser, more awful, the better. It's like the president said, America is on its way to becoming a third world country. You go look under that bridge in Del Rio. It looked like a third world country under there. Filthy, nasty. Yeah. It's the beast. All right. He really thinks that he has won. Very prideful, very arrogant. Wait for it here. In Revelation 14, we see, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And then it goes on to talk about Babylon falling. Do y'all see it? Mm-hmm. Thinking, Lord, more and more, you're putting that responsibility on our shoulders. He's not listening to these whiny bag Christians. He's not. He's not going to hear your prayer, so shut up. I'm tired of hearing it. I'm tired of hearing about your bailouts and you're waiting for the bus to come. Get off your fannies and do something is what I'm saying. Get up and start pushing back. I don't care what it is. If it's little or it's a lot, just do something to push back against the beast and say, no, you're not doing it. You're not doing it. It may just be filling out a survey. I just filled out a survey of our representative that I had responded to. How are they going to know how to vote or what to do if you don't even respond to the surveys? You don't have time in your busy day to even do that. We're going to have to all come out of our complacency. We're going to all have to think differently about, you know, we nearly lost our country, so we're going to have to do things differently so this doesn't happen again. So what? We don't have any kids. He may require us to go to school board meetings. I don't know. I don't know what he'll have for us doing. But we need to be listening to the Spirit and asking him, what would you have us do, Lord? Who cares if we have kids in it or not? This is about all the kids, right? Isn't this what this all started about? It's all about the children? Yeah. And what this horrible beast system has done to our children. All right. We, the body of Christ, are bringing the beast down. We are here to recover our crowns. And we're going to watch how he recovers the crowns. All right? The church. All right. Revelation 19. Right here, verse 11 here. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Now remember, crowns are sovereignty and authority. So what happened? As we take out one mountain, clunk, crown back on. Take out another mountain, clunk, another crown on. He says he's got a stack of them here on his head, many crowns. These are all the places that he has assigned for us to speak to and speak against, to get our sovereignty back, to get our authority back, and take control. Why would he give the earth to man if man is just going to just be like the immigrants coming in, want to just live off welfare, and they're complaining about the food that they get, and we're the taxpayers are paying every cent of everything they get, and they're defecating on the everywhere, and they're doing all their mess? Sometimes I think God looks at his church and sees the same thing. The welfare church. I'm about what you can give me. Never about what can I do for you, Lord? See, we're going to have a really mindset change as the church. From what I see, it's a bless me club. Us four, no more type of attitude. And that's got to change. We're supposed to be looking outwards, going, go into the world. That is supposed to be the attitude that we have as a church. All right. After we clunk up all the crowns, guess what? And I saw an angel, chapter 20, come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. See, the Antichrist and the false prophet, that system is already, they're already in the pit. They're in the lake of fire. But something's going to happen when Satan's loosed again. This is going to happen all over again. You realize that? Hopefully, the bunch that's coming up will be able to hear the truth about the Word of God without the obstruction, without the devil tormenting them day and night like we've had to endure. Hopefully, they'll learn it. And whenever this happens, it says fire will come down from heaven. Who does that sound like? Elijah. Elijah. Everybody said, well, God's going to do it. Said it come down from heaven. Well, yeah. We decree heaven backs us up. Joshua, he shut the heavens. He spoke. He just shut the heavens. That was what Elijah did. But Joshua, he caused the sun to stand still. Did he do it? No, God did it. But the faith, see, they reached out in faith. It's just like going in the lion's den. They said, well, I know what you're saying, but we can't do what you're asking. And so we know our God will deliver us. But even if he didn't, we're not going to serve you. So into the fire they went. And the angel showed up in the fire. So God shows himself out when we use our faith. When we start decreeing over things, he gets his angels working. See, this army that's following Jesus, it's angels. It's angel armies. I have this scripture written right here. 2 Kings 6:17. This is when Elisha and Gehazi had the army around them. And Gehazi's going, what are we going to do? And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. The hills were full of chariots, angels, chariots, the armies of God. If he'd do it in the Old Testament, don't you think more so? How much more so would he do it in the New? Okay. Isn't this what POTUS has been saying from the very beginning? The plan to save the world, taking back the USA sovereignty and also the countries of the world and their sovereignty. What does that mean? Taking back our crown, our authority, our sovereignty. It was supposed to play out this way with the church in the fray and taking their authority as a believer, standing up and taking it all back in Jesus' name. Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. You're dealing with principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. We are armed for a reason. We're not armed to sit on our suitcases and wait for an escape. We're here to fight the good fight of faith. A bailout would not accomplish what needs to be accomplished. There's going to be a lot of Christians scratching their heads and clueless when this is all said and done with. I could say something here, but I won't. All right, the church is standing up all across the world. We see the fulfillment of the Tommy Hicks vision. I've read to you many times. He has awakened us and sealed us for this time in history. Revelation 7. I've read this to you many times. This is about the four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. He seals the church for the battle. He did. He has. And that's what we're going through right now. And we're not going to take it anymore. I'm not Twisted Sister, and I won't try to sing it like they sing it, but it's a good song. We're not going to take it anymore. We're going to do our part in whatever God tells us to do. Through our petitions and proclamations, we've gotten a lot of prayers answered, and we'll continue to.